Good evening, brethren, on this Passover evening. Now, before we partake of the Passover, let's give it just a little thought here about what this is really, concerns and what it's all about. Now, first of all, let's go to Genesis, the third chapter, and verse number 15. And we will recall that after Adam and Eve sinned, God said this to the serpent, which was representative or a symbol of Satan. I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and his seed, or rather, between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Now, all Bible commentators are aware that this is really a prophecy of Christ, because it really prophesies that what he would do, he would destroy the works of Satan, even though he would have to pay the penalty of death himself. Now let's go to the prophet Isaiah, and let us notice what he says here concerning this this very same thing. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Now, if you'll notice your marginal rendering, Emmanuel means God with us. So what we're really seeing here, we're seeing a prophecy of God being with men in the flesh. So Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. In Luke chapter 1, we see a very similar statement here. Now let's go to the verse number 76, Luke 1 and verse number 76. And we read here, you child, and this was when Jesus was taken to the temple, and this was when Zacharias, his father, filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesied. And he was speaking here. He was, of course, the father of John the Baptist. And then he said his mission would be to go before him, that is, to go before Christ. And you, child, will be called a prophet of the highest. You will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Now, that's the forerunner. John was a forerunner of Christ, and John's ministry was very important. Because you will recall, Jesus said, of all the prophets that ever lived, the greatest one was John the Baptist. Yet he didn't perform a single miracle. It was his mission that was important, and the accomplishment of that mission. And that mission was to prepare the way so the people would receive Christ. And that's indeed what he did. And then, Christ would come, John to a lesser degree, but certainly Christ really fulfilled this, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. John had a baptism, but it was a baptism of repentance, all right, but it could not atone for their sins because the Christ had not yet come. Galatians chapter 4, we have another very important statement here. Galatians 4. And verse number 4, and here's what we read. It's speaking here, let's pick it up in verse 4. When the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Now, of course, that particular expression there, under the law, is greatly misunderstood. And in many, many cases, where it is used in this sense, it means under the penalty of the law. In other words, the penalty of the law of sin and death, although Christ did not sin, he was still a human being, was subject to death. So he was under that penalty. To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons or the sonship. So his purpose was to come under the law, that is, under the same kind of situation all human beings are in, that is, we only live so long and then we die. And he was subject to death that we might be redeemed, that is, bought back from death. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 14. Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15. Inasmuch as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in this same, that through death he might destroy, or meaning annul or abolish, him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, to release those who through fear of death all their lifetime subject to bondage. That is, they were released because of fear of death all their lifetimes. They were subject to bondage. That is to say that they were enslaved to human nature and subject to death. And he took on this this same status as a human being, and through his death he might destroy him who had the power of it, that is the devil. So that goes right back to Genesis, the third chapter, where his heel would be bruised, but Satan's head would be destroyed. And of course the head is a lot more important than the heel. And in John 3, verse number 16, this is a statement that all professing Christians know, or certainly should know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, believing in him meant more than just accepting his person. This is what the world does. They make a big much ado about Jesus Christ and accepting him, but they don't have a clue what that means. It means you accept everything he stood for, and it means you accept everything he taught and said. Now, let's go to Matthew, the 26th chapter, and we see the fulfillment then of this penalty that Jesus Christ was required to pay for us. Matthew 26 and verse number 66. Here he was in front of the Jews, and they were holding their form of court, and they accused Jesus of blasphemy. And then we read here, he said to his cohorts, "What do you think?" And they answered and said, "He's deserving of death." This is in Matthew 26, verse 66. Then they spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one who struck you?" So they put him through this humiliation. And then in Matthew chapter 27, verse number 26, we read, "Then they released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." Now, of course, Pilate didn't want anything to do with this. In fact, his wife had had a dream the previous night and said, came to Pilate and said, "Don't touch this man. Don't have a thing to do with him." And Pilate knew that the Jews, it was all political, and they regarded him as a competitor and were wanting to get rid of him, but he was afraid to take a strong stand, unless he fall out of disfavor with the powers in Rome, and so he ended up acquiescing. And so they took him. We read here in verse 27, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus to the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a real reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified." That's typical conduct of soldiers. I mean, if they're combat veterans in particular, they'll be pretty hard-hearted. And when you go through that kind of experience, you know that's the only way you can survive it. And so as we read, skipping down here to verse number 35, "Then they crucified him." Now that was the most ignominious and painful and suffering of death anyone could endure. But that was a deadly. He didn't. What the Jews required, if someone were to die, they were just to stone them, and that could be over very quickly. One blow in the head would be it. But this crucifixion was reserved by the Romans for the vilest of criminals, and that's how they treated him, as the vilest of criminals. And so they crucified him, dividing his garments and casting lots that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. And of course, that prophecy was that they divided his clothes. And then we read here in verse number 49, because they gave him a sponge with some sour wine, and actually it had some other drug put in it, was mixed with it as a pain reliever, and he refused it. And the rest said, "Let him alone, let us see if Elijah will come to him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up the spirit. So this was his death. He paid the price. And it tells you here at that moment, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. So this is what we're here to commemorate. You will remember the Apostle Paul said, this do in remembrance of me. And this is that night that we're doing that. So I think with that background, you folks, wherever you may be located, you
have the Passover instructions as to how to keep them in your home. So
please proceed.